got just a lot of ground to cover with regards to our subject this morning. But turn to someone and tell them, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our passage for today is taken from James chapter 3. As you have probably noticed, that we're still talking about the search for real faith. Search for real faith. How do we have that faith in God? When we talk about faith in the eternal God, what does that cover? And how do we get closer to that faith in God? James is going to tell us today in the third chapter, beginning with verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word or in tongue, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell or Sheol. Now, what are we talking about there? Not just where the evil abides, but it's deadly. It brings forth death. If you think about graveyard, your tongue sets on fire dead stuff. Dead stuff. All right, verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Amen. We just want to preach for a few minutes on communications problems. Communications problems. You may be seated as we pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and love. We thank you for your awesome power. We ask that you would be with us and that you would guide us in all that we do and all that we say. And Lord, we're talking about our tongue, and we can't control it. People say that we should control our tongue. And when we tell them we can't control it, we're speaking the truth. We can't control it, but you can. Amen. Glory be to God. So help us, Lord, that we might learn our communication problems and that we might commit them unto you, that you would help us and lead us forward. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. First of all, let me thank the guys that showed up for yesterday morning. It was quite an event we had over at James Crossing, Greenfield. And I can tell you that yesterday Crossroad was doing missionary work. And so we're very grateful for the guys that showed up and that helped us with setting up the tent and also taking it down. Very grateful. And that's part of the reason why I'm late this morning. Didn't get everything done, but I appreciate your patience. How do we communicate with people? Do we always say what's right? Do we always use wholesome words? It's important that James, the apostle, confront us about this matter. Because many of us would go about thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a good Christian. I give to my church. I volunteer. I do a number of things to help people. And what James is really saying and what he's really doing is setting a high mark. He's saying that if you can control what you say, that will complete your faith. If you can handle communication, you know how it is. Why is Reverend Coleman late this morning? He's always late. And sometimes we even say things about people that deep down we wouldn't have said it, but something pushed us. Something was motivating us. And it's good for us to pay close attention to what James is saying, how he describes it. It's connected to something. It is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the entire body and is set on fire of hell. We've got a serious communication problem. When you think about where God confused the language back in the book of Genesis, they were getting ready to build this huge tower, and it was going to reach up to heaven, keep them together and unify them, one purpose, one cause, but it was all under the umbrella of man's accomplishments. And God confused the language so that they couldn't carry out this effort, this plan that they had of unification without God. God confused their language. But I can tell you that our communication problem went back further than that. When the time came where Eve was deceived by the serpent, that's where the problem originated. That's where the real problem started with our communication. And it's only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse through the ages. So what we want to do today is we want to give some type of analysis. We want to try to diagnose, well, let me get to the root cause of this, preacher. And then how do I move beyond where I am and this communication problem that I have? How do I get past that? How do I move to the point where I now have a wholesome tongue, that what I say, I know it's right? And as James would put it, how do I get to the place where I can say I'm complete in my faith? Now, you can wear the crosses, you can wear the robes, you can put on the Sunday morning, go to meeting clothes, but if you don't control that tongue, what the Apostle James says, you haven't done anything. So how do we get there? First of all, we've got to recognize that it's not an argument where you say, well, I'm good enough. After all, I've got the grace of God. Why should I worry about me being perfect when I can just say, well, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Well, you got to understand that salvation was the initiation of this process. What God is doing with you and with me is that he's transforming us. God is making us into something brand new. We are a new creation. And here it is in Philippians 1 and 6. It says that he's faithful to complete what he started, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun what? A good work. Now, you think you look good now. But you wait until God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he presents you before the Father and said, Father, here they are. I not only saved them, but I've perfected them. Amen. I've grown them in their faith so that now they're fully developed. They're everything you wanted them to be. Amen. And God the Father will say, well done. Well done. That's good. That's good. Now God's doing this work. You can't always see it because it's internal. Sometimes you can see it in the way that you're acting. Man, I remember I didn't act that way. I would flip out. I would do crazy, you know. But now I'm being completed in my faith. So you can't just say that old testimony, well, I got saved a long time ago and thank God been trying to do right everything. No. Give God the glory. Talk about what he's doing in you right now. How he's moving you toward that level of faith and perfection in the Lord. Everybody with me, all right? So now, if you're trying to cop out on this thing, well, I ain't got to worry about my tongue. I ain't got to worry about what I say. Yeah, you do. Because God's working in you to perfect what he started. And it goes on to say in Ephesians, we're not going to spend a lot of time about this, but what kind of contractor do you know that he'll start on a house or on a project, you hire them, and they don't come back to finish it? Don't y'all say anything. You know, they'll come in and they'll put all the equipment and they'll put the lumber and everything down and they'll nail up a few boards and fix up a little stuff, and then you don't see them for 3 months. You say to yourself, "Oh, I ain't gonna pay you then. I'm not gonna pay you until you finish this." That wouldn't be too good on the contractor, right? Now think about God Almighty. Think about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He started this work, and what is he doing? God has foreordained that we should live in these things, for we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what you and I have been made for. We've been made for this. Look at somebody and say, "I was made for this." No. You got to get an attitude. You got to, you tell me I'm made for this. No. I was made for this. There you go. But we got to acknowledge that we got some tongue problems. I've got them. You got them. We all spout off like a volcano. You try to measure it and you take the, what do they call them, seismographic readings, and you think you can pretty much pinpoint, yeah, it's going to erupt at this time, but before you know it, boom. So there are people that say anything, right? Don't y'all raise your hand. There are people that say anything at any time. And they say, "Well," then there are those that, "I'm going to speak what's on my mind." Please don't do that. Do not try this at home. Amen. And then you have the category of those that they use smooth words. Right. As it says in Psalms, I think 68, that their words were smoother than butter, but they were hidden swords. Using the smooth word, but deep within, there's the dagger.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like in, what is that play? Is that you, Brutus? Julius Caesar? Yeah. Is that you, Brutus? You know, you too? In other words, you're going to stab me too? And we talk about that. These are problems of the tongue. And people say, "Well, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never harm me." Sometimes words are worse than the injury itself. Words can destroy character. Words can make you feel as if you're worth nothing. And if some of you have been spoken down to, let me speak an upward to you today. God made you. God made you. You hear that? Now, unstop your ears and make sure that you're hearing it right. God made you. No one else has the authority to talk you down, because God has already talked you up. Clap your hands to that if you believe that. Yeah. Yeah, God made us. We are his image. We're his people. And then there are those that they don't say anything. That doesn't mean the message is not being transmitted on the inside. You gotta watch those folk.
That's right.
Those that don't say anything, they go, all right. And you think it's all right. No, it's not all right. They've got a fire, and that's what James is saying. This fire is burning. And next thing you know, it erupts. We got a problem. We got a problem in our homes. Communication problem. We got problems in our churches. Communication problem. We got problems on our job. But it doesn't start in the home, on the job, or in the church. It starts where? In the heart. Let's look at it. James will first of all admit, and if we're going to solve a problem, as they say in the 12-step program, you got to first admit that you were powerless. And you got to admit that, but the tongue can no man tame. You say, "Preacher, that's not an admission." Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's saying that you cannot do it. And one of the best things that you will ever do in life is to recognize what you can and cannot do. I was telling somebody yesterday, they said, man, you look the same. I said, you need my glasses. I'm a lot older now. And then they were saying that, somehow or another, this thing Dr. Coleman has gotten out there. I'm very grateful for then Virginia Seminary gave me an honorary degree, and I'm very grateful for that. But I told them I can't work on anybody. I can't operate. I mean, we do have some doctors, and we've got people with PhDs. We've got people with advanced degrees and all of that. And so the long story was that they said, do you know anymore? I said, well, one thing I've discovered, I know what I don't know. And you got to get to the place where you acknowledge you know what you don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem with my tongue. I can't do it. But it's good to know the one who can. Right? It's good to know the impact of your tongue. Am I preaching? It's good to know that when you're using that tongue that you need to say, whoa, we used to have mule on the farm, and we tell them, whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you ever caught yourself in mid-speech? And then you corrected, you put the brakes on, you said, now, I started to say this. Lord have mercy, let me shout up here. Let me shout of you. Why? Because something put the brakes on. Something said, wait a minute, don't go there. When you get to the place where you acknowledge that something is going on, that you're getting ready to give out information that ought not to be said. You know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is tapping you on your shoulder and saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, I brought you all this way. I'm doing this work in you. You don't need to say that. All right? Second thing we've got to understand is that this tongue has a double standard. Not only is it evil, it's got a double standard. Some of the people that will stand up in church, praise God from both hands raised, from whom all blessings flow. And as soon as, no, before they get out of church, ready to cuss, I can't stand them. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just praise God. Now you're putting down somebody who is made, notice the word, in the similitude, that word means likeness. They're made in the image of God. You're going to praise God, and then you're going to curse his work. James will go further and say, he said, now a stream that issues out sweet water, you don't expect it to issue bitter water from the same stream. And then he says, brethren, these things ought not to be. Tongue problem. Communication problem. And admitting that it happens to us. And we can't point the finger because it's really all of us. James is condemning all of us. He's saying, can no one, no matter how good you are, you may be a psychiatrist and you know all the motivations and things for that, but you can't tame your tongue. That's a God word. Nerd somebody say, that's a God word. You better watch your tongue. Now, don't hit them too hard now. Yeah. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart. Now we're getting somewhere. Where does it come from, preacher? Out of the abundance of the heart. And in that context, what he was doing is condemning the Pharisees because they thought that by speaking well, by going out, remember, words smoother than butter, by going out and just showing and demonstrating to people who they were by their fair speech, they thought they had everyone, they thought they had them snowballed, as they would say. They thought they had them hoodwinked. You know, they thought they had them convinced. We're good. And what Jesus said, no, out of the abundance of the heart. And he condemned them by saying, how can you Pharisees quote the law, which is righteous before God, and then you make people twofold the children of hell? Out of the abundance of the heart. So now that we know that it's really not a tongue problem, that tongue is connected deep down on the inside to our heart. How do we deal with that? How do I deal with the fact that I've got some issues with the words that I say? You know, as a minister, I have to get together, I have to study, I have to put it in a frame that I can share it with you where it's understandable. And prayerfully, I'm getting better at it. I know I probably won't get perfect at it, but I'll get better. Now that I know where the issue comes from, how am I going to bring this before God and say, God, really the problem is not with my tongue. That's just a mirror to reflect what's deep down on the inside. And I want to tell you that when you get to that point, you have matured in your faith because now you're willing to admit to God, to admit to Him, God, I can't solve this. I need you. Isn't that what church is all about? When you get up on Sunday morning, you don't come because, man, I just want to show how good I am. Well, some people may do that. But you come because you're a needy people. We need God more than the air that we breathe. We need Him more. More than our necessary food, more than caring for our body, we need God. Where do we need Him? We need Him in the heart. We need Him to now work on us because we already know what faith is. We already know what it means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now are we going to depend on God to do this transformation work inside of us? We still there? All right, so let's go with this. Let's go with this. All right, God's going to tell us some things about our heart. And it ain't going to look pretty. Right? You go to the doctor and you want to tell him about what's bothering you, the symptom. And what is he going to do? He's going to try to get to the cause. You know, it's not a thing where you need two aspirins and call me in the morning. This is where you need to really get at the cause of this condition. Jeremiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Christ came, says that the heart is what? Deceitful. And what? Desperately wicked. You know, I used to watch cartoons a lot, and even after I got older. And they had this one cartoon where the guy was called Dastardly Dan. I mean, he was evil. He spent constantly time trying to, he's kind of like Wile E. Coyote on the Roadrunner. Okay, yeah, Wile E. Coyote. Always scheming up stuff. The guy was a genius, but he couldn't get his stuff to work. And that's like a lot of us. You're smart, but you can't get that thing to work. You can't get your strategy to work on this little pink tornado. It sets up in your mouth. And the best thing that could happen to it is you bite it. Word of caution, after you've come from the dentist and you've had Novocaine, please don't eat a sandwich. Amen. That trick never works, said Rocky the Bullwinkle. Yeah. Just thought you need to know that. I learned it in church this morning. All right, what else do we know about the heart? God is saying, I'm involved in this process. Yes, heart is wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, do what? I search the heart. Now we see God in action. Now we see the Holy Spirit actually moving on our heart. Did you not know that your body has these wonderful things called antibodies? I didn't know that till I studied that, Ms. Kaplan. And when I studied that and I figured out what these little things do, if they notice something that ought not to be there, they said, you know what, we got to attack this. We got to address this issue. And so when God searches your heart and the Word of God is on the inside of you, it's going to find everything that is not godly. Anything that is not of God, anything that does not originate out of His Word, He's going to attack it. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I try the reins, even to, look at this word, give, and we got to think about the grace of God, right? How many of y'all said something you shouldn't have to people that you shouldn't have said it? I just say it anyway. But the grace of God is willing not only to forgive you, but to give you strength to overcome that. All right, let me move on. Because the thing that God wants to do is produce good fruits in us. And God's going to bring forth the fruit. Once he gives his word to transform us, then he's going to bring forth the fruit. So as I go through this process, Brother Mac, I ought to be able to talk just a little bit better. You know, you ought to be able, as a Christian, to now use a level of conversation that it brings healing. In other words, when I talk to you, I ought not to feel bad after I've talked to you. I ought to feel just a little bit better. And even your unspoken words, just showing me through your actions that you care, that means a lot. Amen. Are y'all still with me? I'm getting ready to preach now. And it speaks of the wisdom of God. What's happening now, rather than speaking what's on your mind, you're going to a deeper fountain. You're going to a different source. You're now depending on something deep within that has been planted in your heart, and that is God's holy word. And you're bringing it out. That's why when you rehearse the scripture and when you begin to memorize it, sooner or later it's going to come out. Why? Because as David said, your cup begins to run over. It becomes that fountain where now you used to say stuff. Now people come to you, give me a word. Lord, have mercy. Give me something I can hold on to. Why? Because now you're speaking the wisdom of God. How does James describe it? He says that, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It settles well, right? It's gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, that's the high level. That's the high mark that you're striving for. We're not there yet, but we're well on our way, because he that hath begun a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to believe that God's working on you. You got to believe that God is able to do these things, so that now you don't need to just say anything. You can speak what God told you to say. Isn't it wonderful to know that the prophets and their heritage that they had was not to speak their word, but to speak what God told them to say? Right? And when they spoke what God said for them to speak, it always achieved results. And what I want you to do today is you begin to walk out of here and think about how you're going to approach things on next week. Don't use your own words. Let God plant something gloriously in your heart and let him bring forth that fruit. And he will tell you, he will prompt you, and he will give you advice as to what you need to say, when you need to say it, and how you need to say it. As a matter of fact, God wants to transform you to be like his son. Even from a blood-stained cross, Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Even from that cross, Jesus could say to the crowd around them and speak to the man's need, where he said, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, you be with me in paradise. Got to recognize that that's the problem, and recognize that God has sent forth his power to save us. And guess what? Our problem is solved. Our problem is solved. Let me give you a little example. How many of y'all mechanics or try to be mechanics? Yeah. You don't want me to work on your car. See this face right here? You don't want me to work on your car, right? And what we do sometimes as Christians, we want God to increase our performance, right? So we'll come in spiritually to church and say, God, change my timing belt. Yeah, y'all, you with me? All right, Danny, you with me? So why? Because we don't want to just be chug-a-lugging. We want to move. Change my timing belt so that I can, you know, I can respond to life and become more victorious. And what God is saying, no, I want to change your oil pump. I'm talking mechanic language now. I want to change what's flowing through you. Because if you break it down and you change the timing belt, guess what? Usually the oil pump is somewhere in that, right, Gary? I guess I'm right now. When I took my car apart, my wife didn't know about it. And I was working on it. I saw the oil pump right there. What we'll do is say, God, increase my performance. Help my bank account. Help me in my, trying to become something in life. Those are timing belt issues. You need a new oil pump. You need to know why you're doing things and how you're going to bring glory to God. Because I can tell you that if you drive out or if you move out of church and you got a new timing belt and you ain't got no oil, that's all I'm going to say about that issue. I can see you on the side of the road with the white rag hanging out your window. I broke down. Got the dimmers on, like, how long that's going to last? Let's all stand. You get the point? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you're here to guide us in this truth. And Lord, we all admit today that we suffer from communication breakdown. And Lord, if we can just get the tongue right, better yet, Lord, if we can just get the heart right, we'll get the tongue right. So lead us in the way of truth. Help us to digest this message. And Lord, in having done so, apply it to our lives. Change our heart that it might change everything that we do. We love you and we praise you for that. And Lord, I just thank you for being totally honest with us. And every time we leave your presence, even though what you do sometimes, it hurts our feelings, but it raises our faith. It hurts our ego, but as we humble ourselves, you lift us up. And God, that's what we pray for, and that's what we know that you will do in our lives. Keep working on us. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to extend the invitation. If there be one today, perhaps you've never asked Christ to be Lord of your life, today would be a great day to surrender everything to him. If you're not a member of Crossroad and you'd like to be a part of our church family, we invite you to come.